So over the last few weeks or so, we've been slowly working our way through Romans chapter 12. And today we're going to be discussing the last little portion of our chapter. And it's going to be about facing evil and how to overcome it. You know, when Paul was penning these words, back then, it was a difficult period to live in. Imagine living in a country and a time where basically all that you had and you had owned was being taken away. Imagine being rejected by friends and family just because you believed that this man, this preacher, was the Messiah. That this God-man, he was the foretold one that would come and save the world. And you just knew deep down in your heart that you needed to follow him. But so many didn't understand, and they were angry over that. And this is a picture of life back then. And sadly, it's the same picture for many around the world today. We are very blessed here, where we live, that we don't experience that kind of extreme oppression yet. But just because we maybe haven't experienced that form of oppression doesn't mean that we haven't been hurt or that we haven't faced any opposition. Have you been hurt by someone? Perhaps you've been verbally wounded, perhaps physically, mentally, sexually abused. Maybe someone has publicly humiliated you. Have you been abandoned by someone that you love? And although I'm sure that maybe some names or some thoughts or memories are popping up in your head, it's a reminder that none of us can really hide in this broken world. We can't hide from being hurt. And the one who faced the most horrific abuse of all, Jesus, who did not deserve any of it, would have this to say to the early church and to us today. And we read it this morning in our reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. I won't read it again, but I will highlight the key theme of that scripture. Verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Does this sound easy? What Jesus tells us to do is not easy. Only loving those who love you, well, that's easy. But then notice what he says. He says, what reward do you have out of that? What about greeting only just your friends? Yes, that's easy. But the challenge, as you see, is to be like our Heavenly Father. Imitating the Father requires a supernatural help. Many think that they can be a Christian under their own power. And being a Christian is not about enforcing a stronger moral code. Being a Christian is about what we've studied so far in chapter 12. If you remember from the beginning, it's giving your life, all of it, surrendering your whole self to God. We talked about being separate from the world. To see yourself and to love yourself as God sees and loves you. It's about accepting the gifts that God has given you and using those gifts to serve others because it glorifies God. It's what happens to a person when they experience grace and mercy from God. It is our faith response. And part of our faith response is to love our enemy. So how do I love my enemy? And what does that look like? If you'll turn in your bulletin, we'll read the last part of our Romans 12 study. It says, "Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Part one, bless. That's the first command. To bless here means to wish them well, to desire the best for that person's life, like God desires the best for them. Blessing them, that looks like wishing them good health, wishing your enemy or the one who's hurt you, perhaps, a good job, a great marriage, a wonderful family life, relationships, praying a blessing over them. Bless the one who has hurt you, shamed you, wounded you. What about blessing the ones trying to kill you for your faith or for loving Jesus and following him? He's saying, bless them by forgiving them. Forgiveness and salvation go together. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." The key to loving our enemy is to grasp how wonderful and how merciful God is, and that he has not given to us what we deserve. If we were to look back at some of the things that we have done in our past, perhaps reflected on some of our motives, aren't you glad for forgiveness? That God was and is willing to pick you up, to pick me up, and to clean us. God does this for you and I, and then he says, "I want you to do the same for each other also." Forgiveness isn't easy. There's three parts to it. The first thing that you have to do is you have to choose to forgive. It's a choice that has nothing to do with your feelings or your emotions. The second thing in forgiveness is that it is a process. It's a journey where your emotions change because of the choice you made to forgive. It's a journey about releasing that desire for payback. It's about giving them and the situation over to God and forgiving them as God has forgiven you and I. And if you still get frustrated or angry sometimes, or if you have to deal with that person perhaps still that has maybe wounded you, or even if you just think about the situation, does that mean that you are unforgiving? No, it means that you are still on the journey. Keep praying for them. Pray for God to work in their lives and bless them along with yourself. You see, when we refuse to forgive, and maybe you've heard this saying before, that it is like us drinking the poison and hoping that the other person will die. Jesus died to forgive us. But that doesn't mean that he felt like it. Did you know that? Jesus in the garden stressed beyond what any of us could ever imagine. Sweating blood and knowing that when he got on that cross, that our sin, past, present, and future, of all of mankind, would be placed upon him. The moment that all sin fell on his shoulders, he knew that the Father would turn away from him and that they would be separated. Being beaten, humiliated, abandoned, and Jesus prayed. In Matthew 26:39, it says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.'" He didn't want to go through that. But he said, "Not as I will, but as you will." Forgiving and loving the person who hurt you doesn't mean that you're going to feel like doing that. But it's about choosing to give what they need the most when they deserve it the least, at a personal cost. It's about purposefully following Jesus' footsteps. The third thing in forgiveness is in the past tense, having forgiven. In other words, you've done it. It's when you can rejoice in their being blessed, then you know that you have forgiven them. Remember where it says to, I have to look here, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Can you weep with your enemy? Our bodies suffer when we are unforgiving. It can make us sick. It causes depression, ulcers, anxiety, migraines. These are often the root of what comes from some unforgiveness in our lives somewhere. It's a poison that we tend to hold on to instead of releasing it, releasing that person. As I said before, Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This is not in regard to your friends, because that's easy, right? This is rejoicing and weeping with those who have hurt you or mistreated you. That's the challenge. And maybe you think it's just crazy or insane, but I promise you that if you can get to that point of forgiveness, you will be a changed person. In fact, this insane forgiving, isn't that what Jesus did for us? Didn't he come to earth? He got rejected instead of received. And he still died for us, the enemy. For the enemy, he rejoiced at weddings. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he wept over us. Paul then says that once you rejoice and weep, we should live in harmony and do not be conceited. Paul's reminding us that we live in a broken world. And just to get ahead in life sometimes is very difficult. We live in that dog-eat-dog world, but yet we need to live in harmony with others. And Paul acknowledges that, yes, people may have hurt you, but don't forget that we have also hurt others. Just as someone may need our forgiveness, we need someone to forgive us too. So he reminds us, do not be haughty, but to associate with the lowly. Verses 17 to 20 is about not taking our own revenge, to leave it for God. He is the judge who is perfect in justice. In other words, do not pay back evil for evil. People do not always have the same values as you do. They won't always act the same as you. Non-Christians do not act like Christians. What were you like before you met Jesus? Without Jesus in a person's life, they will act differently than one who has Jesus. Those who have Jesus are commanded to not take revenge. Why? Because taking revenge is taking God's role as judge. We need to take our desires to judge and to give it to God. And try not to imagine or create ways to get back, let's say my boss or my ex, my kids, or the person who abused me, but to give, so to speak, the ball to God, and to trust that since he is a perfect God, that he is a just God, that I'm just going to trust that he's going to do what's right. God wants us, for as long as this world is broken, to set the example of what it is like with him in one's life. God wants us to show others that Christians are loving, respectful, selfless, the kind of people that the world needs more of. People that have morals and take a stand on right and wrong biblically. People of integrity and people that bring peace. Be the people, Paul says, to feed the hungry, to help the one who hurt you. Be the person that heaps coals on another's head. And now this is an interesting expression. I don't know if you know the meaning behind it. But what do you think it means to heap coals on someone's head? I had to look it up, but it's the idea or the practice behind goes all the way back to Egypt. There was a Greek scholar by the name of West that said, he says, in Bible times, one needed to keep his fire going all the time in order to ensure fire for cooking and warmth. If his fire went out, he had to go to the neighbor for some live coals of fire. These he would carry in a container on his head back to his home. The person who would give him some live coals would be meeting his desperate need and showing him an outstanding kindness. If he would heap the container with coals, the man would be sure to make it home with some of the coals still burning. The one injured would be returning kindness for injury. Heap coals, not to shame or judge, but to show an act of kindness, despite whether that person deserves it or not. Kindness and love have a way of bringing shame even to the evil. It has a way of bringing repentance. What would it look like in the world if we repaid evil with kindness? What if we loved our enemies? What if we blessed and prayed for them? What if we copied Jesus' character and attitude? He heaped coals on the heads of all of mankind going to the cross. Not one of us deserved another chance at life. We all deserve hell. Romans chapter 1 to 11 are the coals that are placed on our head. And chapter 12 is our repentance and our response to what Jesus has done for us. I used to have a really hard time with forgiveness. I was abused in my teens. I know what it's like. And if you've been abused too, my heart goes out to you. And maybe this message is for you today. But I know what it's like to be bruised. I know what it's like to have clumps of hair falling out. I know what it's like to be beaten until you black out. Those memories are painful, but I don't regret any of them, simply because God entered my life. When I had a hard time moving on from that, I mean, I was just angry all the time. And maybe you feel this way too. It's hard to let go. I had a very difficult time with men. I really hated all men. To me, they were just evil. And I was sick. I was not healthy mentally, emotionally, or anything. And I prayed. And in a very soft, loving, gentle way, God helped me to realize that Jack wouldn't have done what he did if he had known God. And when I came to realize that, and I hope for anybody here who is struggling with any hurt, unforgiveness, that when you realize that the person who doesn't really know Jesus, that's when you need to let them go. Pray for them. Had Jack really known and loved Jesus, he would not have done what he had done. And once I realized that, my anger was gone. How could I be angry with somebody who doesn't know Jesus? I can't. In fact, I feel sad for that person. It's horrible for anybody to not know Jesus. So please, anybody who has hurt you, who has wounded you, who has perhaps shamed you in public, just pray for them. Pray for them to get to know Jesus on a much deeper level. Because it will be such a blessing. Would it not be a blessing for Jack to come to know Jesus, to fall in love with him, and to never do that to another woman again? I feel for the other women. Perhaps that he has hurt. May they find encouragement and strength through Jesus as well. And even if you never see that person again, maybe nothing will change with that other person, but I can guarantee you will change. As I said, the hate is gone. The anxiety leaves. Peace comes. And God does something in you. For you see, God wants you to love your enemies for your good and for his glory. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross for us, even though we didn't deserve it. We thank you for those heaping coals. It's hard to forgive. It's not always easy, but it is a process. But Father, you are so faithful that you will work and walk with us in this journey. And Lord, I pray that whoever is here this morning, that has heard your words, Lord, may you help them to forgive whoever they may have not forgiven. Lord, help us to stop drinking this poison. Help us to realize that this poison comes from the enemy, that he loves for us to drink it because it makes us sick. It doesn't glorify you, Lord, and it is not healthy for us. Lord, take that cup away from us. Father, may we continue to draw closer to you. And Lord, for whoever is our enemies, may you bless them. For those who hurt others, Lord, may you enter their lives. May they get to know you. May they fall in love with you. Because, Lord, a life with you changes a person. Lord, we just surrender them to you. In your name we pray. Amen.